Thought you did good, Bobby. I stopped critiquing song leaders some years back. One song leader was singing, "He Bore It All." And, you know, it kind of got away from him. It wasn't his fault. I think we had a group over here singing one speed and a group over there singing another speed. And I just told him, I said, "Boy, you really struggled with that one." He never would sing that song again. I asked him to sing it for a sermon. He says, "I don't sing that anymore because of you." So I don't say that because song leaders are babies. They got half the criticisms that preachers get. They just run into the night crying. I saw an online article this week. I look at different news places, and I look at what people are saying. And if it's something that I think might work in a sermon or something I want to reference later, I PDF the page and store it and come back to them later and add them to sermons sometimes. But one this week was an article entitled, "Nine Things That Successful People Do on a Sunday Night." You know, it begins by saying that most people do not look forward to Sunday evenings. I thought they might have been surveying the Cary Church, but that's what they said. In fact, they said on a worldwide basis, and I don't know how they exactly did this survey, 78% of people worldwide suffer from Sunday night blues on a regular basis. This is what the article decided that successful people do on a Sunday night. They spend quality time with their friends, family, and significant others. They plan something fun. They organize and plan for the week ahead. They exercise. They catch up on reading that has been neglected. They follow up on commitments. They relax. They volunteer. They end Sunday on a high note. I guess as we think about that and we look at that, I guess the biggest problem is how, as we read this, is how does one define successful? We got to come back to that. Successful people, what successful people do on a Sunday night. I mean, really, don't you have to define what successful is? Because, you know, I know business people who have great success in business but are absolute failures in managing their own lives. In what they do outside of the 9-to-5, they're an absolute wreck. And we see that in our world. We see these people that are so successful in our world, and yet when you see their lives and it's shown on television, you see that they're a complete mess. They're a complete wreck. So are they really successful? I mean, yes, from a money standpoint, they might be. From a business standpoint, they might be. But really, is that all there is to being successful in this world, as we might define the term? I want to approach success as having nothing to do with how much money is in one's bank account. I want to approach success as having nothing to do with what their title is at work, how many degrees they may have after their name, what prestigious awards they may have received, because none of those indicate, I believe, from a spiritual standpoint, real success in life. Solomon had every single one of those things and had it more than anybody I know, and yet his life was a total failure. And so let's just take those things out of the equation when we think about success. You know, none of these things indicate what true success is. Successful people are those rare people that exercise self-control in their lives and use their lives in a way, as Solomon put it, that fears God and keeps His commandments. And I mentioned their exercise of self-control because, buddy, if you watch these people on the television these days and these well-known people, you just see people out of control, doing whatever hits them, whatever they feel like, whatever they want to do. There's no control in their life. It's rare people that can control their lives, that exercise self-control. And only those that exercise self-control will ever fear God and keep His commandments on a daily basis. So let's look back at those nine things that successful people do on Sunday night with that definition in mind. First one is they spend quality time with family, friends, and significant others. Does that apply to us? Jesus is my friend. We sing, oh, you know, what a friend we have in Jesus, right? Jesus in John chapter 15 and verses 13 through 14 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And then he goes on to say, you are my friends if you keep my commandments. See, Jesus is my friend. I like spending Sunday night with my friends too. How about you? You know, you are my friends and you are my family. I like spending Sunday nights with my friends and family too. Because we are God's family. You are my brothers and my sisters in the family of God. Successful people spend time with God's family. Successful people spend time with their friend, Jesus Christ, on Sunday nights. The second thing was they planned something fun. You know, fun is not a specific word. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, what does that really mean? What is fun? I mean, what I think is fun, some of you might think, that's the awfulest thing I'd ever have to go through. I know that because I hang around with Kim Bush, and if it's not an Alabama ball game, it's not fun. Right, Ken? See? I wanted to make sure y'all didn't think I was mistreating him tonight. But fun's not specific. It's kind of generic. You know, some people have fun doing dangerous and even sinful things. It's not specific as to what fun is there. So when it says they plan fun things, that could be bad. You know, I can tell you that I enjoy worshiping God. And I enjoy worshiping God for no other reason than God. I don't have to have the most beautiful song service. I don't have to have, I guess it's hard for me to say, I don't have to have the best preaching because I'm the one preaching, so it's hard to bore myself, I guess. But I don't have to have all those things. None of those things have anything to do with my enjoyment of worship. My enjoyment is that I'm with God, that I'm praising Him, that He is worthy of that, and I enjoy that. You know, Brother Barber gave me this little pamphlet this morning, and he got it in the mail. And its title is, when was the last time you had fun at church? That's what it asked you. And you know, I looked this over. It's for this particular religious group. And I looked this over, and there is nowhere on this that Jesus Christ's name is ever mentioned. They never mention God. They never mention Jesus. They never mention the gospel. They never mention the Bible. Never. Not on this page anywhere. And this is the advertisement for their church. Oh, it says that you can expect a friendly environment with engaging teaching and energetic music during our main service. Your children will be taken to the children's part, an incredible experience designed specifically for nursery to fifth grade. Never. It's fun and exciting church experience includes something for everyone in the family. But it never mentions Jesus Christ. How do you talk about your church and never mention the Lord? He's the reason we're here. You're not here to have an energetic experience. You're here to have a time of worship and praise to the God that saved you. That's it. See, that's what they're missing. It'll be shallow, it'll be fluff, and it will never build faith because it's left out the Lord. You know, I enjoy worship. I enjoy being at church because it's so much a part of my life. It is my center. It is the most important thing to me. And when that is true for a person, they enjoy being at church. They enjoy being at worship. The joy of worship is from the inside of a Christian out, not based on the exteriors that take place when we come together. Faith is from within you and goes forth. It isn't determined by energetic music. You know, I enjoy being with God's people more than any other group in the world. It brings a lot of laughter to me. It brings a lot of smiles. I never am lacking for laughter and smiles when I'm in the foyer, when I'm walking around talking to you. If I'm around Michael Feast, I can hardly breathe half the time. I love my brethren. Yeah, Michael, that's good, brother. Don't get upset. I love my brethren, and I enjoy it. And it brings a smile to my face to be with you. And so, you know, we need to understand that we are here, and successful people do plan to have fun on Sunday night, fun with their family. They organize as well and plan for the week ahead. You know, organizing for your week is a good thing. That's a smart thing, and I encourage you to do it. But never forget that whatever plans you make for the week, they are contingent on one thing: if the Lord wills. James chapter 4 and verse 13 says, James says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit." Oh, they're planning, aren't they? They're making a plan. Yet, he says, "You do not know what your life will be tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that.' But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is," get this, "evil." When I plan my week and I don't take the Lord into account, it is evil, James says. Proverbs says it like this in chapter 16 and verse 3. The wise man says, "Commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established." Successful people come to God and worship on Sunday night, looking to God for His help in the week to come, asking His blessings on their plans, giving themselves to His will for them this week. That's good planning. That's good planning for any week. Planning with the one who holds all things together by the power of His might. That's a pretty good person to have on your side, backing up your plans, isn't it? The one that has the power to see them through. You will be a successful person with that kind of planning. That says that some people exercise. I don't. Not on Sunday night. Well, I don't know much of any day night. But they exercise. I'll give you one of my favorite verses in the Bible. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 7 through 9. "But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit. But godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds the promise for the present life and also the life to come." See, I like that where Paul says, I focus in on that, where he says bodily discipline. And that word discipline there is gymnasia, which is training, which is bodily exercise. Profit is little. I zoom in on that. I become almost one of those people that's just going to draw one little text out of the Scriptures and just live by it without anything else. But he says here, bodily discipline profits us little. A lot of people have toned and in shape bodies, and they are just muscular from head to toe, and they work out every day, and they think that's going to help them live longer, and they're going to get hit by a car tomorrow, and it isn't going to matter. That's why it matters little. Because let me tell you what Paul says there, and he's not saying don't exercise. Don't get me wrong. That's a joke. But what he is saying is that that does not compare to exercising yourself spiritually. Becoming strong spiritually. Because if you become strong spiritually, you work out in that way, you exercise yourself biblically, you get hit by a car tomorrow, that's a good thing. See, the other way, you just die if you're lost. You can be lost and be in perfect shape and die and be lost. But you can exercise spiritually, and if you get hit by that car, you get to go home. So that's why Paul says that. He says, focus on godliness, righteousness. Healthy and strong spiritually helps you live longer, because it helps you live eternally, right? You ain't going to get any longer than that, folks. Successful people are exercising spiritually with the family of God on Sunday nights, because that is what lasts. Another thing they say is they catch up on reading that has been neglected. Let me tell you, too many people have neglected reading this book right here, and they need to be here on Sunday night, if nothing else, to get a little extra reading in. Right? All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. It's needed in our lives. And they need to be here, and successful people will be here. It's a great time to catch up on that need. Spiritually successful people read and study their Bibles, not only on Sunday night. I don't want to drop that and let somebody go, "Hey, all I have to do is read my Bible on Sunday night and I'm all caught up." No. Successful people read their Bibles on Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. I got them covered, don't I? That's what makes successful people. Then they said that they follow up on their commitments. Folks, we have a commitment to serve God. We have a commitment to honor Him, to bring glory to Him. We have a commitment to serve His kingdom in a way that puts Him before all other things. And when we follow up on that commitment, I can guarantee you that commitment will help us take care of all the other commitments that we have in our lives. Worship, prayer, singing praises, study of God's Word, they all demonstrate a commitment to God. I study God's Word because I'm committed, because I believe that what it says I need. I pray to God because I'm committed to Him and I believe that He's committed to me and that He hears and will do what is best. I sing praises to Him because I'm committed to all that He's already done for me and all that He ever will do for me. To praise and to thank Him. We are committed to Him. We do follow up on our commitments. Successful people follow up on the commitment to God on Sunday night. They also, it says, relax. Now, some of you, while I'm preaching, look kind of relaxed. Now you don't. I always have a way to change that scenario. There is nothing more stressful, though, in life than to live a life with no hope. There is nothing so stressful than to live a life filled with guilt, than to live a life where you feel completely alone. To have a life that is consumed with bitterness. Those things bring great stress to anybody's life. Stress that will prevent you from ever being able to relax. I can relax in Christ Jesus like nowhere else because I have eternal hope that cannot be taken away from me. I can relax in Jesus Christ because I can be forgiven and freed from the guilt of my wrongs. I am never alone because God is always there for me and I have a loving family in the church. I learn to forgive and I learn in such a way as to defeat all bitterness in my life. See, all of those things that cause stress, all of those things that prevent me from relaxing, Jesus Christ can take those things away and replace it with strength. Successful people find relaxation in the peace that passeth understanding that is found in a life given to Christ. And they are reminded of those things that bring peace as they worship God on a Sunday night. They also say that they volunteer. Would anybody argue with me that everything about Christianity is good? I mean, it comes from God who is good, and He's the only source of good. It is God. And so Christianity has to be good, doesn't it? And yet Christianity, did you know, is a complete and total volunteer thing? You are here tonight because you choose to be here tonight, because you volunteer to be here tonight. And you will only do anything else in the Lord's church because you choose and volunteer to do it for God. God will not make you do anything. You have to volunteer to do it. That's one of the tough things about it for elders and for deacons. It is, you know, a lot of times we come out of they come out of the business world, and I've been over there, and I've been over people in the business world as well before I started preaching. And you know, you tell people to do things, they do it, or they don't get paid. It's much different in the church, isn't it? We're dealing with an all-volunteer workforce. Come if you want. If you don't, you won't. That's just how it is. But we volunteer. Christianity is volunteering for the one true good. And worshiping God is good. Successful people volunteer to do what is good on a Sunday night, don't they? To worship God. It says that they also end Sunday on a high note. I bet every one of you know where I'm going with this one, right? I could almost just skip this one, but I won't. Is there a higher note to end a Sunday night on than worshiping the God that created the universe in you. Than worshiping the God that loved you so much that He sent Jesus Christ to die for you. Than worshiping the God that keeps you in His constant awareness. He notices if a bird out there falls to the ground and He notices everything that's going on in your life. You're in His constant awareness. To worship a God that blesses you abundantly in ways that you see and abundantly in ways that you do not see. A God that wants nothing more than to save your soul. To worship a God that one day will take you home to heaven. How can you not have a high, end your weekend, end your Sunday on a high note with that? You know, if this is not a high note, you have to ask yourself, do I even know God? Oh, I know the name, but do I even know God and what He's done for me? Because if I do, this is the greatest moment of my week. Nothing else will touch it. I stand before the throne of God. How does it get any better? I'm able to praise Him. I'm able to talk to Him in prayer. I'm able to read His words, to learn from His words. How does it get any better? What will you do this week better than being before God? I hope you don't have an answer to that. Because you don't have anything better. At least not when you look at it from the perspective of what God has done. If you know God, times like these are the greatest times of your life. Definitely of your week. Are you a successful person for God? That's what we're talking about tonight. What successful people do on Sunday night. You see, this sermon tonight, it's a rare kind of sermon. I'm not preaching why you should be here on Sunday night because you're here. I'm not going to do that. That's kind of a waste of time. That's preaching to the choir. What I'm telling you is you're here tonight and that says something about you. God bless you. Because there were a lot more people in these seats this morning. And I don't judge why people aren't here. I don't judge where they are. I don't know where they are. And I hope that where they are, God says that's perfectly fine. But successful people are in the seats tonight in churches all around. Because they love their God. Because they want to worship Him. Are you a spiritually successful person? You can be if you give your life to Christ through obedience to the gospel. When you are a spiritually successful person, you will be here on Sunday night. You will join here with your family and with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you are here and you give yourself to Christ while you're here, you will leave ready for the week ahead. A week that is spent in service to God. A week where you say, what I'm going to do this week is going to be if the Lord wills, and it's going to be by His will. Paul told the Colossians, everything that you do in word or deed, let it be done in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything you do this week, as you start this week, should be done with Christ in mind. And that you conform to His will. If the Lord wills, I will do it. Whether it's today, tomorrow, or whenever, it's all up to Him. He's the one that is deciding my life. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not who? And not I. But Christ. He lives in me. This evening, I hope and pray that you're successful spiritually. But if you're not, I hope and pray that you will make that right. That you will do the things necessary to become successful. If you're a child of God and you're not living as you should, repent of those sins, confess those sins, and know that God will forgive you those sins. And whatever guilt that may come with those sins is gone with the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And you can go forth to live successfully for Him all the way into eternity. If you're not a child of God and you haven't obeyed the gospel, you're missing out on the greatest life there is. And there is no greater success in this life than the success of living faithfully to God. Obey the gospel tonight. If we can assist you, won't you let us as we stand and as we sing.